words of Arthur Schlesinger. In reality, as Professor Schlesinger said, it's a collection of very rough terrorists whose gains have come in the main not from the hopes that they've inspired, but from the fear that they have created. These are no reformers. May I say to my friends, these are destroyers, assassins. They seek not to save life, but to take it. In the countryside, agricultural stations have been systematically destroyed. And medical clinics that have been established for simple outpatient care have been raided and burned to the ground. Malaria control teams have been killed or kidnapped. Village chiefs and school teachers and others who represent order and local government and social service have been made the special targets for assassination and kidnapping by the terrorists. All told, it is estimated that over 10,000 civilian officials in that little country have been killed or kidnapped since 1954. Translate that, my dear friends, on a population ratio to the United States, and it would mean that 130,000 mayors and councilmen and teachers had either been killed or they had disappeared. The fact that the Vietnamese fight back after this terror is something of amazement to me. Yet the effort of these people goes on despite these attacks. Brave and tireless Vietnamese continue to take seeds and fertilizer and farming know-how to the villagers. Teachers continue to man the schools, more of them today than last year, despite the constant attack upon those schools. And at their side, I'm proud to say, are your brothers and sisters, our American civilian experts, many of them right from this great university, men and women, Vietnamese and American, and increasingly of other nationalities. These are the unsung, the unpublicized heroes of this phase of the struggle. And I say that so long as they persevere, so long as they stay there, these wars of national liberation, as they're called by the communists, can be defeated. Now I know what your purpose is, and I come here to congratulate you. I also come here to say that it isn't easy to separate the dialogue and the discussion on Vietnamese policy between the liberals and the conservatives. But let me say to those who say they're liberals that liberals need to understand that under circumstances such as these, which are documented by the facts of history, that it is necessary at times to use power, not for power's sake, but power so that there may be an opportunity to build a better life. And may I say to the conservative with equal candor, if you wish to be so identified, that sheer military action alone can be counterproductive. What we need is a blending and a synchronization of the political, diplomatic, social, economic with the military, a balanced response to a situation that requires military strength and political know-how and achievement. Now, I know that you in this campus are doing something that is wonderful. And by the way, I want to say that this is being no totalitarian country is doing what you're doing. And let the word go from this place that the American people do care, that we are a peace-loving people, that we do have, as Karl Rowan said, a conscience. You're adopting the Hamlet, as I understand it, of Long Yen, Tay Ninh province. This hamlet is some 60 miles from Saigon, and it has vigorously resisted absorption into Viet Cong hands. It has given many lives for its freedom. I'm told that you plan to raise funds, and I understand that you even paid to come. Amazing. I want to thank you. To raise funds to build a new two-room school, to construct an open-air market, and to pay for a teacher and a health officer. Ah, these are the things that the people of the hamlet themselves have decided they most need and want. And I've heard the word that Michigan State's program has struck sparks in other campuses as well. And let's hope that this can be accelerated. This is the most encouraging, the most inspiring of all. For the need, as we know, is so great. not just the physical need, but the need of the people there to know that our people, not just our government, that our people care and that we stand with them. In this fashion, you'll be helping the Vietnamese people to build a future for themselves. They've been under attack for 10 years. They've lost thousands of lives. Their villages have been destroyed. Their hopes have been crushed. And if the United States of America did not stand beside them now, there would be no hope. But let it be clear to the whole world that it isn't just a president or a Congress or a cabinet that stands beside them, or even the military. Let the word go and let it ring throughout the world that the people, yes, the young people of America care, and they care enough to help them rebuild their villages, to rebuild their schools, to rebuild their hospitals, to heal their sick, to teach their illiterate, to help them plant their fields, to build a better life, and I think you do care that much. I must warn you that our efforts will require patience as well as courage, the will to endure as well as the will to resist. But our willingness to meet our obligation to assist free nations should never be confused with the desire to extend American power or impose American ways. We do not aspire to any Pax Americana. We have no desire to play the role of global gendarme. Where multilateral organizations are ready and capable of assuming the burden of defending independent nations from communist assault, or of preventing internal rebellions from leading to chaos and anarchy and thereby threatening the peace, we welcome their intervention. We believe in international peacekeeping. We contribute to it. We support it. And as we know from recent history, international organizations like the UN have done great things, but are not always capable of stepping in quickly. But when they are capable, we welcome and encourage their presence. I wish to leave you now to remind you that there is no escape from this world. I know it's a difficult one, but it's an exciting one too. In about 3 days, two astronauts of our country are going to make a 61 orbital flight in 4 days in space. And one of those astronauts, Major White, will step from that capsule and float free in space. Also, we will rendezvous the main capsule with the booster. We will perform amazing feats of science. All of this is exciting, but the most exciting thing of all is not in space. The most exciting challenge to young people today is right here on this earth. The excitement of building a better world and the willingness to go at it with fervor and devotion and yet with perseverance and patience. Because our real purpose is the building of the peace worthy of mankind. And peace is not a miracle, nor does it come like an epidemic. Peace is a process. It's not static, it's dynamic. It's not defeatism. It is true, in a true sense, an offensive program of good works. And I ask you to help build that peace. But you can't build that peace by walking away from the threats to it. And you can't build that peace by being willing to sacrifice large areas of the world to the aggressor. And you can't build that peace by pretending there are no threats to the peace. You build it with courage. And you build it recognizing the sacrifices. And it's the work of generations. I doubt that you and I will live long enough to see this world having the kind of peace that man has prayed for and the poet has dreamed of. But peace, like a beautiful and a mighty cathedral, must be built block by block, stone by stone, and each family and each generation must give to it. We've been giving now a good time to it. And since we've put so much into this beautiful edifice of the hope of peace and a better world, the least that we can do is to defend that edifice from the vandals, from those who would destroy it. I think we've learned by hard experience in Europe that involvement in the world is the price of resisting aggression, that appeasement is not only morally wrong, but it's a threat to national security. And I trust that we've also learned that if we in the United States are unwilling to defend free societies, who do you expect will? In a complex world, therefore, we must practice patience with perseverance. Patience to defend the free nations in distant Asia as well as those close to home. We must never be lured by quick or easy solutions. We must not abandon our goals because of frustration. We must continue to pursue this noble goal of peace and freedom, acknowledging both the prospects of success and the consequences of failure. And I say to the young people of America that if we act with the typical courage of this republic, with its historical courage, if we act with vision, with ideals, with wisdom, generously, unselfishly, we shall not fail. I say to you that we shall, in the spirit of those who fight for their rights at home, we shall overcome. Thank you.
The priest.